against their readers. It was supposed to be important to play fair. Father Ronald Knox, a founder member of the club, went so far as to devise a jokey decalogue of 10 commandments for the genre. Not more than one secret room or passage is allowable, for instance, which he and his colleagues were happy to break whenever it suited them. Anthony Barclay, who organised the dinner meetings that led to the foundation of the club, and Dorothy L. Sayers, a towering presence in its ranks, headed a group of talented crime writers who became increasingly determined to explore criminal psychology and write novels of literary merit. Yet they too relished the intellectual exercise of creating elaborate puzzles. Writing a round robin mystery presents a variety of challenges for any team of authors, and club members had to decide how to top the success of The Floating Admiral. Their answer was to come up with a fresh concept. They would write a story in which they exchanged detectives with each other. This gimmick afforded contributors the chance to poke fun at the genre and at the quirks of their colleagues' most famous sleuths. But transforming the idea into a readable story was bound to prove complex, with each contributor in turn needing plenty of space to develop the narrative in a distinctive way. This explains why, although 13 members provided ingredients for the mix in The Floating Admiral, just half a dozen created Ask a Policeman. The original dust jacket blurb captured the gleeful spirit of the enterprise. Here is something delightfully new in thrills, a story which combines the interest of detection with the fun of parody. A problem is propounded, ingenious and, for the solvers, malicious, and in itself a parody of 1001 detective stories. A great newspaper proprietor dies in his study, and suspicion falls upon an archbishop, a secretary, a police commissioner, and the chief whip of the political party in power. There is, too, a mysterious lady. What then can the Home Secretary do but call in the amateur experts? There are 4 of them. Each takes a hand and each produces a different solution. The industrious and prolific John Rode set the scene in a long introductory section. Rode was the main pen name of Cecil John Street, 1884 to 1965, a former army officer who had won the Military Cross. His most famous detective was Dr. Lancelot Priestley, a rather severe intellectual who featured in a long line of novels but is absent here. Rode was an efficient plot builder and created the perfect victim, a tyrannical media mogul whom every other character in the story seemed to have a possible motive to kill. In keeping with the fashion of the time, a plan of the scene of the crime was included. The story was introduced by an exchange of letters between Rode and Millward Kennedy. Kennedy, 1894 to 1968, also concealed his identity under several pseudonyms. His real name was Millward Roden Kennedy Burge. He worked in military intelligence during the First World War and was awarded the Croix de Guerre prior to taking up a career in diplomacy. Like Anthony Barclay, he wanted to push out the boundaries of the detective story, and several of his books experiment with the form. None of his characters, however, appeared in more than 2 books, and the absence of a serious detective may help to explain why his fame did not last. To Kennedy fell the unenviable task of tying up the loose ends of the story, and one of the in-jokes of this book is that he gave the job of making sense of the case that had taxed Lord Peter Wimsey and others to a character who was, like himself, a civil servant. Another is his tongue-in-cheek admission to breaking the rules to which my fellow members of the Detection Club always, and I, on all occasions but this, make it a point of honour to adhere. Once Rode had set the scene, the baton passed to Helen Simpson. Born in Sydney in 1897, she was both gifted and charismatic. Sayers, a close friend, said after Simpson's untimely death from cancer in 1940, "I have never met anybody who equalled her in vivid personality and in the intense interest she brought into her contacts with people and things." Simpson tried her hand at poetry and plays before